Today we have this deeply moving story that Jesus tells in the Gospel of Luke, the story of the prodigal son. And it's kind of interesting to see what occasions the telling of this story. Jesus is being criticized by the Pharisees and scribes because they notice that so many sinners are gathering around Jesus. And that Jesus doesn't shun them, but rather he welcomes them. And he even eats a meal with them. And so this scandalizes the scribes and the Pharisees. So Jesus tells them this parable. And so what's the message that Jesus is trying to get across to them? Well, he's trying to show them how God sees the sinner. How God looks upon the sinner with eyes of mercy. So he tells this very dramatic story in order to illustrate that. So the story features, firstly, the younger of two sons who commits a really serious sin against his father. It kind of happens so quickly we might not appreciate exactly what's going on here, but this younger son tells his father, who seems to be a wealthy man, a wealthy landowner, he tells his father that he wants his inheritance. And he has one brother. So in other words, he's demanding of his father half of everything that his father has. So this would be like if any of us went to one of our parents and said, well, I don't want to wait until you're dead before I get what's yours that's mine. And for some reason, the father accedes to his son's request. And, practically, this would have meant his father selling off land in order to give his son the cash that he's demanding of him. So he himself would be reduced then of his land and of property in order to meet the demand that his son is making on him, but he does that. And then that son takes that money that his father worked for and squanders it. It's gone. So it's important for us to see here that Jesus is not minimizing sin at all. Jesus is helping us to understand that that we betray God when we sin. It's like we say to God, we don't care about your fatherhood over us. We want to do it our way. And we even deny God's our relationship with God. So this is what it means that the sin that the son commits brings him to a distant country. And so that's symbolic of the distance now the son has with the father, which helps us understand that we distance ourselves from God when we sin. And then the son falls into misery. So he squandered everything he has. And what's the symbolism going on here? Well, it's the son is experiencing the consequences of sin. And the consequence of sin is misery. When he was spending all of that money, it probably felt great, which is why he was doing it. But eventually, the sin is going to catch up to him, and he's going to feel terrible about what he's done. So in our own life, we experience this too sometimes. Like if you've been drunk and you get a hangover the next day, I mean, the hangover is a symbol, in a sense, of the suffering, the misery that sin causes us. Or if you eat way too much, that stomach ache is a reminder of the consequences of sin. Or even the guilt that we can feel if we've betrayed someone. That guilt is a consequence of sin. So sin always reaps suffering. in our life. It's going to catch up with us eventually, like it caught up with the sun. And so he finds himself in utter destitution and misery, so much so that he's working on a pig farm, which itself is symbolic, because a faithful Jew would never eat pig, much less work on a pig farm. And so that's even that is a symbol of the distance of this young man from God. But he's in such a terrible situation, he's jealous of the pigs because they eat better than he does. So he's really suffering and feeling the consequence of what happens when we deny God's fatherhood over us. And so what does he do? Well, he decides that he'll go back and see if he can be a hired worker. He doesn't expect his father to take him back as a son because of what he's done. But at least maybe his father, who he knows to be a good man, will hire him. And then he'll at least have food. So he goes back, and what happens? Well, the gospel writer tells us, or Jesus, who's telling the story, says that while he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him. So what does that tell us? That his father was watching for him, was waiting for him. And as soon as the father sees him, we're told that he was filled with compassion, and he ran to his son, and he embraced him and kissed him. This isn't necessarily what we expect to happen. If this were us, maybe we would make our son come get on his hands and knees and crawl to us, groveling, begging for forgiveness. But yet, the father isn't interested in making his son grovel. But in fact, instead of making his son run to him, he runs to his son. And then it's like an excess of goodness that the father brings to his son. He puts a robe on him, and he puts a ring on his finger, and he slaughters the fattened calf, and they begin to feast. Jesus wants us to see that this is God's celebration every time we repent of our sins and turn back to him. Every time. God wants us to know that this is him towards us. And so we might be like the son, where we don't know how we're going to be received by the father. But Jesus wants us to know that the father rejoices. He doesn't take us back begrudgingly, but rather he runs to us as soon as we turn in his direction. I think of this story so often when I'm hearing confessions, and particularly when someone comes in with a particularly big sin, a sin that they've maybe been carrying for a long time. And as a priest of almost 12 years, I've heard pretty much everything. Adultery, abortion, terrible acts of betrayal. And and so often I think of this parable as I'm hearing that person's confession, and so grateful that this person now can leave the misery of their sin. Because there are so many people, so maybe people here who still feel guilt for sins that they committed in the past and have never brought those to light, have lacked the courage to do so. And that's a miserable place to be in, wondering if we're forgiven by God, wondering if we're going to go to hell, ashamed, wondering if the sufferings of that we have in our life are God's punishment for sins that we've committed in the past. And the grace of the sacrament of reconciliation is that one confession wipes all of that away. One confession assures that soul of God's forgiveness, welcomes that person back into God's family. When we go to confession, Jesus really wants us to know that our sin is not only forgiven, but it's forgotten. And he wants us to forget about it too. And that's when a healing process can begin, is we're able, and sometimes this takes a while for us to be able to do, but we're able to let go of the guilt, to let go of the shame, to begin to forgive ourselves as God has forgiven us in that sacrament. Part of the reason that Jesus tells this parable is because of the Pharisees and scribes who were so critical of him for welcoming the sinner. And this is good for us to see too, because we ourselves can be really judgmental of others. We can think to ourselves, well, look at that person in church, and I know what they're really like. God wants us to have the same attitude towards the sinner that he has towards the sinner, which is merciful love. So that's God's attitude towards you and me, sinners as we are, and he wants that to be our attitude towards others as well. So at this Mass, Jesus so generously comes to us, and we might be thinking about the sins that we really want to receive his merciful love for. And we can pray for those people who are especially touched in their conscience and desire to be freed from years of guilt and shame. So let's ask the Lord today, wherever we fit into this story, let's ask the Lord today for mercy and compassion towards the sinner, if we identify with the older brother. If we identify with the younger brother who sits in the misery of his sin, let's ask the Lord for courage to turn back to him and to bring our sins to the sacrament of reconciliation so that we can be freed and forgiven. And if we're the sinner who's experienced God's mercy in such a tremendous way, let's rejoice and allow God to rejoice with us. This is what Paul is talking about in our second reading today when he calls himself a minister of reconciliation. Paul wanted everybody to know God's mercy for them in their sinfulness. May we all, everybody in this church, know God's mercy and compassion for our sin. And may we not hesitate to share that promise of mercy with one another.